Good morning to you all, brothers and sisters. This is Daniel King. Just like to share some here on the Daily Inspiration this morning. I'm looking at Luke 5, verse 17. Luke 5, verse 17 says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop and let him down with his bed through the piling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Rise up and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power not to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' You know, I am sitting here thinking and pondering about that, about why Jesus said to the man there, "Your sins are forgiven you." Why he did that, I don't know. I guess I would like to say I wasn't there, and I have no proof of what all else took place. In other words, one thing I'd like to point out here this morning is that most times when you have a story of a recorded conversation in Scripture, I would think that it's fair to say that only parts of the conversation were recorded or was recorded. In other words, the Gospels were written by people who were witnesses to the conversation. So in other words, they were almost like journalists, like in this case, Luke was like a journalist that wrote what he saw happening. And most times in a newspaper article, you have a condensed version of the happening and the conversation. In other words, not all the details are in there because it would get too long. And the reason I'm saying this is I believe that if you would have transcribed many a times word for word, like let's say if Jesus would have been wearing an electronic recorder and you would have transcribed word for word every conversation, I think there was oftentimes a lot more words exchanged than what's recorded. I think the Gospels are actually kind of a condensed version. But nevertheless, I don't know that in every case. I think there's significant reason to believe that in certain cases because, you know, obviously Jesus said a whole lot more in 3.5 years than the exact words that's written in the Gospels in red. Because, you know, if that was the only words he ever spoke, then he would have been a man of extreme few words because You know, I think Jesus was fairly talkative. So I think you understand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying here is there's really no recording of any conversation. In other words, did the man just appear down through the roof? And Jesus would have been there ministering to the people in the house because that's what he was doing. That's why, because the house was crowded with people, is the reason why they couldn't bring the man in. So we do know that Jesus was in the house, and we do know that the house was crowded with people. And I don't think Jesus was in there just silently standing there. I think he was actually talking. I think that's not hard to think through. And so is this all the words that were recorded or that were spoken by Jesus? You know, the man was dropped down with ropes, and all of a sudden Jesus was there talking like he was maybe sharing a story or a teaching, and all of a sudden he just looked up and there's this man coming down through the roof, and his only words were at that moment, just, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." You know, I don't know. It could have been. The reason I'm bringing that up is, how did Jesus know to do that, and why didn't he just do that to every person he met? Why did he specifically say that to this man who was on the bed, and not necessarily to every person that came to him for help? What was unique about this man that he said to this man, "Your sins are forgiven you"? And I think Jesus probably did quite a bit of that. It's not recorded a lot, but it is recorded some. I'm not sure if I could point to any other place, but where I'd like to go with this here, if we can now go to John. So this was in Luke 5. Might come back to that yet. But if we go to John, St. John, towards the end, in one of the meetings that Jesus had with his disciples after he was crucified and resurrected again, I think it's John 20, verse 23. It says, 21. Okay, so John 20, verse 21, it says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" And so it almost seems here, if you just read this at face value, if you read it as a child, it would seem to me that Jesus was actually passing on this power or this authority to forgive sins to his disciples now. In other words, he was walking in that and practicing it. And he would walk up to a person and he would say, "Your sins are forgiven you," according to the recording there of the story we just read. And that meant that man's sins were forgiven him. And now it seems that he is passing on this power to his disciples. Because it says, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." In other words, I received this power from my Father, and now I'm also transferring this to you. And then it says, you know, about the sins there. And then if we go back to James now, James 5, I'm just going to quick get that here, James chapter 5, it says in 13, James 5, 13, it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. If anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he had committed sins, he will be forgiven." Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so James here that wrote this, I don't know if he was present when Jesus was standing on the mount there. I don't know if he directly heard that from Jesus or if it was handed down. I think that James that was the disciple, James and John, John's brother, was beheaded, I think, early on. And the James that wrote this, I think, was another James. Now, I don't know if that's proven, but I think this James that wrote this was a half-brother of Jesus. But nonetheless, it doesn't really matter, because regardless if he was there or not, directly hearing those words from Jesus, that was meant to be passed on. And it's meant to be passed on to us today. So there's this question of how does this work with with this whole thing of forgiving of sins. But I was just thinking this morning that the Pharisees, back to Luke 5, the Pharisees that reacted when Jesus said, "Thy sins are forgiven you," is kind of the same today. If you walk in that kind of authority and power, the Pharisees of today will also actually respond in a very similar way. And they will say, "Do you have power to forgive sins?" But, you know, Jesus said here in verse 24 in Luke 5, it says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power." Why do you suppose that Jesus said Son of Man right then? Why didn't he say Son of God? In other words, he was bringing himself down to the level of man. In other words, he was saying that the Son of Man, in other words, a man can be born into this world and be totally man, his mother and father being man, and he has that kind of power. A Son of Man has power in order to forgive sins. If Jesus would have said at that moment, "But that ye may know that the Son of God has power to forgive sins," then we could say, well, Jesus was a special, had special powers that are not available to us. And I believe that's key here, or the reason that Jesus was saying Son of Man is because that he was trying to make that clear to the people. But this is the kind of power that we are welcome to walk in. And as I was pondering that, I started to realize that Jesus, it's pretty clear in John here, in 1 John 1, 7, I think, 1 John 1, 7 or 8, something like that, says, if you confess your sins to Jesus, if you confess your sins, he is to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I got to thinking here about this power that Jesus is asking us to walk in, and all of a sudden it became so clear, and all of a sudden it wasn't hard to understand at all. In other words, here's how it works. A young child sometimes doesn't quite know how things work, and he will often come to his daddy or his father for confirmation for how things work. You know, how often do you see it? A little boy might be telling somebody something, his friend something, and his friends challenge him, and he goes, "Oh, that's what my dad said," and then soon it kind of, well, then he soon starts to wonder, well, is that true? Well, then what he'll do is he'll come to his dad, and he'll say, "Dad, is that actually true? Isn't it true? Didn't I hear you say one time about this certain thing?" And his dad says, "Yeah, that's true." And then he goes back to his friend and says, "Yeah, this is true. My dad said so." So what I'm saying is oftentimes young children lack confidence at times. And that's how it is with young believers who are just coming to the Lord. In other words, a young person who has been living in sin and does not know what it feels like to have his sins forgiven, to just confess their sins, and sometimes they have a little trouble believing that their sins are forgiven. In other words, they can confess, that's easy enough, but then after they're done confessing, sometimes for certain people, they're still not quite sure if their sins are forgiven. And if a mature Christian at that point, a pastor, or someone who has been walking alongside of them, an evangelist, you know, whatever, the person who was witnessing to them, says to them, son, your sins are forgiven you. Not say, I believe that God has forgiven your sins. Huge difference. But say, brother, friend, your sins are forgiven you. And then point to the verses of scripture that back that up. And that person will likely believe that because of what a mature Christian, or not, I'm not even going to say a mature Christian or anyone, you know, that's a believer who has experienced this. And I think that's the difference. I think that's what Jesus is starting to say here. It becomes quite simple. And Jesus wants to use us as believers as confirmation to other people, to the people that we lead to the Lord. He wants us to use that confirmation. And I think this power is not to be used, lightly, because I don't think Jesus did. Like I said, I don't think Jesus just said this to everyone he met. But there were certain people who he could sense in the Spirit who needed that confirmation because they were seekers. Jesus sensed that. So I just want to encourage us in this ministering that God wants his children to encourage each other in this, and may the Lord bless you.